Well, good evening, and greetings in Jesus' name this evening. Hard to believe here we are, the end of a week, into the next week, actually. And it's good to see everyone here, some relatives and some friends, old friends. Thank you for each one that's here, and I want to take this time to just say thank you as a congregation for your hospitality. I was blessed, very blessed, and it was wonderful to be here, wonderful to be into each of your homes, many different homes I was in, and got to be with you at Ron's place there, and thanks to Ron and Joyce for their opening their home for us as well. Thank you. We were blessed. And you know, you go through a week of meetings like this. I told a friend, it just didn't seem like very good timing when I was coming. And I told a friend, I said, I'm just going to go. We're going to do what God wants us to do. And I know I will be blessed. Right now, I don't see it. But I've been blessed. And I'm thankful to come through a week with you. And I trust that as we go from here, that this church will be a church that is faithful, that is striving to do what you would want, what God wants you to do in your lives. And we looked at several different things. We talked about the rodents here. I hope that can be a lesson for you. Not to remember the rodents as much as what the sin can do in your life, okay? It can really mess a life up, and we would have a detest for that and hate what's happening there. So you get to the end of a service, like meetings like this, you're like, what should have I shared? What didn't I share? What could I still share? One of my employees is an old retired pastor from Colorado. And he said, man, when I was a boy, we got through one week, and usually they'd say, why don't we have another one? And then they get through the second one, why don't we have another one? I'm like, wow, if they do that, if I call back and say I'm staying another week, you better call me. There's probably some good in that, but after a while, it's good to move on to something else, and maybe someone else could take up the, I'll let the local ministry do that here, maybe. But blessings to the church here as you serve him, the leaders here, be faithful. And this evening, we're going to look at be faithful because Jesus is coming back. And this evening, I'd like to look at the second coming of Jesus. I don't know what you think of when you think of the second coming of Jesus, or if it even crossed your mind in the last while, or if you wake up, how many times in the last while you woke up in the morning, and I different times, and I drive to work, and I look at the sun coming up. I don't know why I think of a sunny day, but I look at the sun coming up, and the beautiful sunrise, and I'm like, this might be the day Jesus is coming back. But you know what? He hasn't yet. Did that change the fact? No, he's still coming, right? He's still coming. Praise God, we can look as faithful people, we can look with rapture as we see him coming back and say, hallelujah, even so come, right? And those that maybe aren't ready, I hope you get ready. I hope that you find it and you find him and you're ready. And as you think about the timing that we're in and all the different things that have happened in the last while, they've been happening, I know that. Earthquakes, wildfires, hurricanes, the times that we're in, things, wars, rumor of wars, and all that happens. You know, it sounds like we're getting close, right? And I don't claim to be some prophet here this evening. I'm just going to simply use what God's word has to tell us, okay? And we're going to look at that this evening. And how I thought about Noah and how the people around him were warned. And, you know, they didn't believe or they didn't care. I don't know what it was, but, you know, they didn't do that. And you know what? They missed it. The whole world was destroyed, just besides Noah, his family. And I'd like to begin this evening by looking at Matthew 24, before I give you the title. But Matthew 24, well, I can give you the title here. It doesn't really matter. Matthew 24. The title is Rapture, Ready. You know, we often, and in my business, we customer first. Customer is a big thing, right? We want to be customer service. We want to be that. And I'm sure in business, you all know what that's like. But there's different things that we want to be. We want to be, you know, ready for things. And you could be whatever you're in. You're ready in your market or whatever that may be. But we want to be customer ready. We talk about it. And our employees are supposed to be customer ready. They're supposed to have now. We train them. We do all these different things so they're ready when a customer walks through the door, right? This is way more than that, right? This is rapture ready, being ready when Jesus comes back. And we'll talk about that a little bit here. But I like to think about Christ's return this evening and when he comes back for his saints. And I want this to be an encouragement to us that we keep striving to be faithful because Jesus is coming. And someday all the trials will seem so small when we see Christ. And that's a wonderful thing. Matthew 24, starting at verse... I think I'd like to start at verse 37. 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord cometh. Pay attention, think about it. But know this, that the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come. He would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, he shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus jumps in here, and we could have read a lot of earlier here, even verse 25, we probably could have started. Well, Jesus is, the disciples want to know what's happening at the end of time. And Jesus, if you can just picture a window, Jesus or whatever it may be, and Jesus just takes the curtain and he just pulls it back just a little bit, so that we can get a little bit of a glimpse. And I don't claim to understand it, and I don't think that probably you do either. But we have just enough that God pulls back the curtain and we can see and what we can expect. And some of this could be how I view the scriptures this evening. But we do know for a fact that Jesus is coming back, okay? That's what we cannot forget. And I just like to, you know, yeah, I like to look at, I don't know what your lean is towards prophecy or whatever it may be, but let's not get lost in that. Let's look at the facts of what the Bible has to tell us here this evening. You know, in our confession of faith, and I'm sure yours does as well, Article 16 says of the coming of Christ, we believe in the personal, imminent coming of our Lord as the blessed hope of the Redeemer, that we who are alive and remain, together with the dead in Christ, who will be raised, shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. And that second coming of Christ is called the rapture. And we think about the word rapture. That word, you know, we don't find that in Scripture. I don't know that we find anywhere that we find it says rapture. We take a second coming, his coming again, the resurrection, first resurrection, different things like that. But it's there's a couple things to talk about rapture, but one of them is the carrying of a person to another place or sphere. I think that's what the dictionary said. And then I found another definition. It says the final assumption of Christians into heaven during the end time according to Christian theology. All right? Is it just a theology or is it a fact? It's a fact. That's part of our theology. But carrying a person from one place to another place from a certain sphere, we would say that we're in a sphere. We're in the earth, right? That's where we find ourselves. At least I am here. I'm sure you are too. And we know that Christ, the rapture, is taking that, taking a group of people, taking from one sphere to another one very quickly. And we're going to look at that. I'd like to look at that this evening as we think about that. So every person that has ever been born, I think there's an estimate of 108 to 110 billion people ever born someday. Every one of these souls, every one of these people who have passed this earth, come through this sphere, have come through this sphere, will be carried away to another sphere sometime. The rich man and Lazarus, into another place. Each person will be carried to another place. Now, not everyone will be taken at one time. We would believe that way. But the Christians will be taken from one sphere to another sphere. That's what we want to look at this evening. What does the Bible say about the rapture? When the church, when those who Christ died for, Christ gave his life for, Christ shed his blood for, he bought the church. And he's coming back for a church that is without spot and wrinkle for you and I, as we are faithful to him. And that should just thrill us this evening. That should just send chills down our back as we wait and we think about Jesus coming back. We're taking from one sphere to another sphere that we know nothing about yet, right? We just have a little bit. God just pulls back that curtain just a little bit. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17. Well, I will read this later here. But then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And what? So shall we ever be with the Lord. Everything will be over here in this life. And that is just a wonderful thing. I'm as I think about that, you know, we will go up through the atmosphere, through the different spheres, into space, on out, I don't know where, wherever heaven is, right? And God will take us there. Children, if you ever dream about flying, flapping your arms and maybe soaring like a bird and thinking about jumping off of a roof or whatever and you think you can fly, well, you found out probably soon that you can't if you ever tried it, all right? But you know, someday we're all going to fly. We're going to fly to heaven. And I don't know how that's all going to happen. I don't think we'll be holding out any arms or anything like that. Jesus will just take us. And that's just a wonderful thought as you think about that. So what does the Bible teach about this time? What do we need reminded of? I want it to be, as you think about this, as just to inspire us. I want to take the letter to the word rapture. And I like to use a letter of each one of the letters and make a point from each one. So the word rapture, the letter R, first point is we need to realize the promise and make it a part of our life. God does not want us to be ignorant. That's the reason we have Scripture, right? We look into Scripture. He does not want us to be ignorant. He doesn't want us to be caught unawares, but have a future knowledge that this something is going to happen. He wants us to understand some things about the future, and he shows us just enough of the unknowns of what we can expect. He shows us some of the unknowns so that we are not totally clueless, right? God, he said, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 says, behold, I show you a what? A mystery. Don't quite make sense. And yet we need to realize that it is a promise that God gives to us. And we can hold on to that. A secret for the child of God that someday we're going to rise. We're going to be with him. God intended for us to be did not intend for us to be ignorant, but to read and look forward to what he does show us. Blessed is he that readeth. And they that hear the words of his prophecy and keep those things which are written. Why? Because the time is at hand, right? It's going to be coming. Sometime it's going to happen. And realize the promise of this. Not only does he not want us to be ignorant, but it is a promise that he gave to us. A promise by one who was and never will be embarrassed by not being able to keep his promise. You know, I promised someone sometime, or I said, you know, I'm going to do that. And I left them down. I did. And I'm sure each of you have done that as well. We left them down, but you know, and we're embarrassed about that. Oh, I totally forgot. And Jesus isn't like a million years from now, like, I just totally forgot to come back for you. No. Jesus said, 14 verse 3 says, I will come again and do what? I will receive you unto myself. That where I am, you can be also. That should just thrill us. Receive you unto myself. Sounds like a change, a transfer from one place to another place. As you think about that, yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus is what? The same, right? So he will come. He will say what he will keep that. Let's realize and trust and find comfort in this promise that he's going to give us. Letter A. It's going to come with a shout. He's going to come with a trumpet, right? We hear that. 1 Thessalonians 4. Let's turn there. 1 Thessalonians 4. First Thessalonians 4, I'm going to read verse 13 to 18. We read some of this already here, I believe, but 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain, and unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the who? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. It's going to descend from that sphere down to within where we can, with this sphere. He's going to descend with a shout. Just try to picture this. Descend with a shout. With the voice of an archangel. I've never heard an archangel, and I don't know what that's going to sound like. But the voice of an archangel with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You know, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, yet, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall rise. A shout, the voice of the archangel. And I think about this, I wonder, now, who's going to shout? I can just imagine it's Jesus. He's coming back for his bride, right? He is excited for you and I. He gave his life for us. We are his bride. We are engaged to Jesus, if you want to think about it that way. And there is a wedding coming, and he is excited to come. And when God tells him, go, I could almost picture him sitting on the edge of his chair, whatever he's sitting on beside the throne, and he is ready to come, right? And he is a shout, I'm here, I'm ready. Are you ready? Let's go. What about the archangel? I don't know. I don't know what all that is. The voice of an archangel, I don't know if it's a... I can almost picture hear the voice. I don't know how you'd make it sound, but you know, as you think about that, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Jesus told the story about the wise and foolish virgins. The shout went out, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And I guess I sort of think that maybe that could be what Jesus or an angel says. I don't know, but those who are ready to come. It's time. Revelation 19, verse 9, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And think of this verse. Most times thought of it meant that those who are following, those who are called to follow him, to accept his plan. And that, I believe, can be the case as well. But you and I, as God's people, we've been called to serve him. We've been called to live for him. And we've been called by the Holy Spirit, prodded by the Holy Spirit, to give our lives to him. And we have done that. But someday, that shout will sound, and he's going to really call us to him. And I'm excited for that as we get called up to meet him in the air. That is just a wonderful thing. Not only the shout, but the trump of God. And I it doesn't say who will blow the trumpet, but will it be Jesus himself, the angels? I have no idea. But, you know, when they blew the trumpet in Bible times, it was sometimes a warning from off the city wall. And they saw an enemy coming, and they blew the trumpet. Alarm. That's what's happening. Sometimes it was to call the army together. Hey, let's all get together. We're going to fight. And they would call it together. Call the army together against the enemies of God. Another way was to call assembly for an important event. Maybe the king was coming. It could be for prayer. It could be what different things like that. Well, the trump of God is to call his saints together. Are we part of his saints tonight, today, as we think about that? Jesus is definitely calling together all who are ready for an important event, the marriage of the Lamb. He's calling his people together to fight the enemies of God. A rider on the white horse with the saints behind him going out to punish a nation. But at any rate, the trump of God shall sound. The Bible teaches this. And as you think about that, be ready to listen for the trumpet. For the trump to sound, that shout. I don't know if you ever woke up, and I thought of this again, but you ever woke up during the night? You know, a thunderstorm, and bang, and you're startled, and you know, the lightning's flashing outside, and I already thought, wow, this is it. I reached over and felt my wife there. She was there, and it's just a thunderstorm. But, you know, that's yeah, I don't know what that's going to sound, but I hope that we are watching. I hope they were waiting to see what Jesus has to say as he comes, as we are ready and watching for him. Letter P, we have a pulling, uplifting power, unmeasurable magnetic power. When we think of the rapture, there will be coming down of Jesus and a lifting up of the saints. In life, we are used to gravity. I would jump out there, I would fall down to the floor, right? That's gravity. It takes a lot of power to blow silage to the top of a 100-foot silo. It takes a lot of power to put a skid up to the very top 40-foot pallet rack. You know, there's a lot of power to shoot a bullet so that it goes out of a gun and it can go for miles if it wants, right? There's power there. It takes power away from gravity. But the power that lifts the church up is going to come from above. It's a pulling power, right? Pulling us up to him. Magnetic. Doesn't say that Jesus is going to come down to the earth and push us up to heaven. Nope. He's going to pull us up to heaven. And I thought of that, you know, several years ago we were on a trip in the south, and we come up Interstate 10, I think it is, coming up from north of New Orleans in the dark, and it was a little late, later in the night, and we were in the motorhome, and we were driving there, and I saw signs for NASA. I'm like, oh, NASA, out here out way down here. I didn't know where that was. And sure, Stennis Space Center, I think it's called. And the closer we saw the signs for Infinity Science Center. And just like that, I saw the signs for it, and we just passed it. And it was all lit up here, and there was this huge rocket laying there just inside the interstate, outside the interstate fence in this science place. And I looked at it like, wow, that looks like the Apollo 11. I had never really seen that before, but that looks like the Apollo 11 that they went to the moon with. Sure enough, I searched it, and yes, they had it there for the 50th anniversary for going to the moon. And that's a big rocket when you look at that thing. And that took a lot of power, and they were just going to the closest star or planet, whatever you want to call it, the moon, right? And that's however many thousand miles away. But that thing is heavy. 1.5 million pounds of thrust to push that thing up there. 32 million horsepower per engine, five engines on the bottom of that thing per rocket. 32 million horsepower. I can't even fathom that, right? That's just pathetic. But being pushed from behind to get away from the gravity of this earth, right? Pushing it up. And we say, well, that's just a small distance to compare to where we're going. I don't know where God's taking us, but you know, he's going to pull all the Christians upon this earth and pull them up. Not only the Christians of the earth, those have died in the Lord, right? In the earth, wherever they find themselves, I don't know, bottom of the sea, wherever that may be. And he pulls that. And there's a power, and there's a pulling magnetic power. There's no pushing power, but it's a pulling power, a magnetic power that draws and pushes us, pulls us out. And Jesus says, I will draw all men unto myself. Isn't that what he says? And I know he's talking about people that he's trying to bring them to him. But he also, I think, someday in eternity, I mean, when the rapture happens, he's going to draw us, you and I, to him as we think about that. And, you know, there's another aspect of that. As you think about drawing nigh to God, we need to draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to us as well, right? Okay? But as I thought about that, you know, too often in this world, with that magnetic power that God wants to take, that Jesus is going to use, and he's going to pull us up, you and I, we get wrapped up, I do anyway, we get wrapped up in these things of this earth, and we have a little too much magnetic pull in this earth, right? We're a little too attached to things in this earth. And my question is this evening, where are you? What are you attached to? Those things actually will hinder a Christian from leaving this earth. Even though the power of Jesus is able to pull that person up, but if we have not accepted the plan of salvation and we have not chosen to say, you know what? I live this life not attached to the things of this life, and I just use them. But I am ready, I am watching for when Jesus comes back. So God help us to be that person who is, you know, think about that. Are we attached to the things of what are we tied to in this life? Luke 21, I'm not going to take the time to turn there, but Luke 21, 34 and 30-36 talks about the parable of the fig tree. And he says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. So that day come upon you unawares, right? And surfeiting, we could talk about that a little bit. And drunkenness, and the cares of this life, right? Too often, I think we find godly people who are, I'm going to call it drunk. We're drunk in the things of this world. We're caught up in the things and we are obsessed with things of this world. And we are not going to find ourselves ready to be caught up to meet Jesus in the Lord, in the air. And I hope that we can be that. Not that we can have cares, but that we are caught up in the cares of this world. They can't control us. We can't be overcharged. We can't be overloaded by them. Jesus will come with a powerful lifting up of the saints, and he will pull it unto himself. And it says that the Lord himself, Jesus himself, is going to come. Not a representative, not Noah, not Abraham, not Peter, not Paul, but he is going to come himself and do that. You know, I believe in life we live above this old world by the power of the Holy Spirit, above the flesh and above sin. I think that's how we can do that. It is this power that will take us up and out. And I believe the Holy Spirit will leave at that same time, and it's gone. Taking up forever, powerful draw, lifting the complete church, alive as well as the dead, into eternity, into another, from one sphere to another sphere. Are we rapture ready? Are we ready for it? Letter T. Letter T, we have the twinkling of eye timing. Like I said, we believe in the imminent return of Jesus, meaning it could happen at any time, it could happen now, right? And Jesus taught this. He never tells us to get ready, but to be ready. Or he says, you don't have time to get ready, you need to be ready. We need to do that. We need to get ready to be ready. Jesus taught this. He said in Mark 13, verse 32, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, know that the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Matthew 25, verse 13, watch therefore, for ye know not the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh, right? Matthew 24, 44, therefore be ye also ready, for in such hours ye think not, the Son of Man's going to come, right? He's going to be there. He told us his disciples over and over again, because of that they believed that he was returning in their lifetime. Because of that, they believed that he was returning in their lifetime. And Apostle Paul, the same, he used the term we which are alive and remain. We shall be changed in a moment. He uses that different times. This was going to happen, he thought, in his time. And obviously it didn't, right? We're still here today. But that same we is still us, right? Still us today. He believed in the imminent return of Christ. Are we ready? It will come. It will happen in a moment. Quickly, in the twinkling of an eye, in the snap of a finger. It could happen right now in the very moment. They say a twinkling of an eye is like, I don't know what, I forget how many seconds it is for a blink of an eye, but it is the twinkling of an eye that he's here. And you know, we won't know that other than he's giving us different warnings that be ready, watching. These are some things you should look for. These, be careful. Hebrews 9, verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So the early church was ready and watching, and even so today we need to be ready and watching. It is the ones who are looking for him that are ready for him. Another fact about being ready in this imminent return is that there's not any advance notice. You know, we tell our children, get ready, we're going to be going soon. In school, we have warning bells. You have a five-minute warning bell, or you have, you know, Sunday school this morning, right? We had two bells, right? One was to warn, yeah, we're going to be done here soon. You know, we say, well, wouldn't it be nice to have a five-minute warning bell that Jesus is going to be back here? That's not the way God operates. God's looking for people who are sold out for him, who are waiting and living their lives for him all the time. People that are sold out for him. You know, he's going to be sudden without notice. Revelation various times, and then in the last chapter 22, he says, behold, I come, what? Quickly, right? He says, quickly. Be ready. Suddenly coming for the saints. And I guess the question is, will we all go to meet him, or will there be a few sitting here this evening if he came tonight? Letter U, we have the unearthing and uprising of all saints to a wonderful reunion with Christ. And 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 talks about this here. It says, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. There will be an unearthing and a resurrection of the dead bodies of the saints at Christ's coming. Again, the Lord himself It's going to be personal. King of Kings, the bridegroom. But it's the dead in Christ shall rise first. Who's going to rise first? Those who have died on before. Those only, the dead in Christ. Those who have lived for him. 1 Corinthians, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. I'd like to read that there. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. No, that's not the verse I wanted here. 1 Corinthians 51. Start at verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible mind must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, nothing is said about anyone else rising, but only the righteous who died in Christ. So I believe it's going to be, obviously there must be two resurrections, right? According to this, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which were alive shall rise up to meet him in the air. Earthly buried bodies of the saints, the souls who have gone on to be with Christ. The Bible says only those who are Christ will be raised in the rapture. No sinners, they will stay. And how will this happen? Well, I don't know that, because God and his miracle power and how he does that. I love imagining, and I don't know, you know, the dead in Christ. And children, if you, I think you maybe there's a graveyard back here, but I enjoy walking in graveyards. I like looking at gravestones. I like thinking about them and what their lives were and reading the little headings there that says on it. And imagine their lives and how, where they are today. It's good for us to think about that sometimes. But children, if you ever walk through the graveyard, you know, and you're there when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise, I don't know what it's going to be like. There might be graves flowing open. I don't know how this will be. That's a little imagination. But they're going to be rising from all over, right? And the dead will, it says the graves will be open. It might be explosions. Imagine places like Rome and the Rhine River and places where many people were tortured and killed and their bodies are just thrown there. There might be a lot of people happening there. I don't know what's going to happen there. Matthew 27, when Jesus rose from the dead, it says the graves were opened, and not just anyone came out, but many of the bodies of the saints arose, it says. The graves were open. I believe probably it might turn some dirt, and people are going to see some empty graves sitting around here when that takes place. I don't think there'll be a question, did Christ come back or not? I think they will know. If you are left behind, you will know that something happened. And you will realize, you know what? I was not alone. I'm here. And then we think about that. You think the dead rising and we rise with it, those who are alive, and to meet him in the air. What a reunion in the air. I think of all that as we think about that. Not only, you know, it won't be at a church, it won't be at a picnic grove, but it's going to be in the air, right? We're going to have a reunion. Not in heaven, not on earth. We're caught up to meet the Lord in the air, between heaven and earth, somewhere in there. I don't know where that's going to be, but Christ will take us home. And I get a mental picture of Jesus, but I don't really know what he looks like. I don't think you do either. We have pictures, we have Bible story books, we have all kinds of things with the pictures of Jesus, and we have these mental pictures. But I am anxious to see him. Both the dead and those alive are going to meet him in the air, and we'll see him. This will take place. It'll be a transformation, a bodily transformation. The souls of the saints whose bodies are, the souls of the saints are going to be with Jesus and return with him, I think it says, and their bodies are going to come up to meet them. A resurrected body, our bodies will change, and I don't know what happens to our old bodies. I don't know where that goes. You can let your mind wander on all that, but we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, right? The last trump. And I don't know, you know, how that can happen. But we will have a glorified body, a body that is No more aches and pains, no more blowing noses, no more colds, no more coughing, no more whatever happens. That's the beginning of eternity. I shouldn't say that's the beginning of eternity. We started eternity now, but you know, it's forever for there with the Lord. We can forever be with the Lord from that point on. And that just excites me as you think about that. We will be reunited with God in the air, with Jesus in the air. It speaks of change, a transformation, new bodies, glorified bodies, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sin nature, no more temptation. Then that wonderful meeting, the reunion in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Those who are ready and watching will see this appearing. Like after his resurrection, only those who followed him will see that. Christ coming, are we ready? Like a thief, we will be snatched away out of this world quickly and without warning. The rapture, transferred to another sphere or place of existence. Rapture ready. I'll be rapture ready. So think about that. Letter R. There's going to be another serious fact to this. The reality of some being left behind. In Matthew 24, we read that there. The Bible will indicate that at the rapture, it's all about the saints. The wicked aren't involved in this. They're left behind. Those who are watching, those who are his, those saints alive and the dead will be included in the rapture of the bride as we're taken up to meet him, as well as the young children and all those who are under the age of accountability. Therefore, since he is only coming for the saints, obviously it's going to leave some on this earth, right? Someone's going to be left behind. In the Bible, Jesus said about this. One will be at the mill, one will be taken, one the other left. What if I was the one that's left? Did you let your mind think about that a little bit? How would I feel? But you know, maybe he won't come in this service. Maybe it will be on the way home in the vehicle. Who will be left? Did you think about this service here this evening? Who, you know, God, the trumpet would sound while we're standing here, and who will be left behind sitting here this evening? It's a serious thought as you think about that. Maybe on your way home. Maybe it'll be tomorrow. Whatever that may be. And the trumpet sounds. My spouse, my children, will I be left behind? My parents, will I be left behind? Where do I find myself? Someone will be left, Jesus says. Or maybe we wake up in the middle of the night to find it happen. You're all alone in the house. Where did they all go? You're left behind. You realize, huh? And a sinking, awful feeling, I believe, that I missed it. I missed it. I don't know if you've ever been missed, like forgotten. Maybe as a child, you were forgotten at church. Anyone ever had that happen? Or you know that sickening feeling? My parents just drove off. They forgot they left me. You know what? They come back. At least I hope they do. No, they do. But you know, Jesus, that's not even comparable to that. As we realize that, you know what? I missed it. I missed it. And those people that are outside of that ark, I believe they were just like, it's raining now. This is exactly what he told us. We missed it. We are not going to make it. I believe they pounded and pounded and pounded upon that ark. I don't know, but I just imagine that. Let us in, please. But you know what? It was too late. You know, if we are attached to this world, we're glued to the things around us, we're influenced by the world, it really is a very dangerous thing to let the world dictate our lives. What draws us? Is it heavenly influence or earthly influence? The things of this flesh. Will I be left behind? There is a reason why Jesus said in Matthew 24, two will be grinding, one taken, the other left. Two will be in the field, one taken, one left. He didn't tell that to scare us. But it will be a fact that we need to reckon with, and we need to think about it. Will I be the one going? I can make a choice. I can change that. Will I be the one going or staying? You know, there's an old song. I don't know if you've ever heard this, but I always like listening to it. And I'll do it sometimes. But the Cathedral Quartet sang a song the Last Sunday. Anyone ever remember that or whatever? If you ever listen to that song sometime. The Last Sunday. And it goes down through a story of people that are all different people. One person on a Sunday, he's going to get his boat out. And he's going out to the lake. Another one's not with his wife and down at the bar with another lady. Then you have a church service where people are sitting in here. The trumpet sounds. The church rises and there's different people that are still there yet. There's older people. There's some younger people. The preacher was left there. That's sad to think about that. the last Sunday, the church, the reality is that someone will be left behind. But do you know what? We have a choice, and we can change that. We can make it right. We can do what God calls us. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Get your ticket to heaven. Get your ticket to the rapture. It's very important. Speaks of, you know, it's very important that we do that. You know, as we think about messages like that, we're like, God, I need to purify. I want purified. I want to be ready to go with you. We need to daily make our calling and election sure. Someday it will be a reality that we will be left behind. Some time ago, I didn't know if I was going to share this, but I guess I will. Some time ago, I had a dream, and you know how dreams go. They can go a little funny, right? I don't know if any of you dream, but I don't dream very often, but this one was very vivid to me. We were having a dream, we were at a viewing, and we were walking past the casket. Someone was in that casket there. I don't know who it was, I don't know any of that, don't know too much. I don't even know anyone else that was there that I know of. And we might have just finished it, and for some reason, this is where the funny part is maybe a little bit, but they wanted to make sure they had shoes on. So they pulled back the cover and they put these shoes on. And just when they did that, there was a sound outside and that man sat up in his casket. And he got right out of that casket and started walking right out the front door. There was a side door here in the front of the service. And all the people got up and started walking out too. They started walking right out. And eventually, and I followed along. We went out through there. And after a while, they just started disappearing, and some of us still stayed there. We were still walking. We looked, and you know, there they go. What's going on? So finally, the rest of us came back. We came in here like, well, I guess we might as well finish the funeral service, but there's no point, right? We realized, you know what? We missed it. And I woke up at that point, and I'm like, oh, thank God. A sigh of relief that, you know what? I'm still here. And Jesus didn't come back yet. But it made me think about that. You know, the reality is that some are going to be left behind, and we need to think about that. Very, very, very real. And I believe God brought that to my heart to speak to me that time. I don't even remember. But I woke up shaking and realizing that this is real. This is real. What will keep us here? Money, things, hobbies, our phones, sinful desires, speech, disobedience, disrespect, hatred, just plain disregard. Just plain rebellion. I don't know what it may be. Severed relationship, grudges, bitterness, all kinds of different things. The quenching of the spirit, spiritual laziness, our prayer life. Could it be the fact that maybe we just didn't make a commitment to Christ yet? Someday, someone will be left behind, the Bible teaches us. Today, we have a choice. Today, folks, is the day of salvation. Letter E, eternal gifts and wonders are shown. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17 says we will rise and we will receive our incorruptible bodies and we will meet our Lord in the air. And then we'll have to come back to the earth to finish our life out? No, right? So should we ever be with the Lord. And you think about that. You know, as we be with God forever, blessed be the God and Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our lively hope will then be a reality. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work. I don't know what these rewards are. I don't know if it's a crown. I have no idea what these rewards will be. The Bible talks about those. And I believe we will all feel very unworthy to receive any reward of all he has done for us. But it says he will do that. And we may say some. We may think, I don't know if we can even think this though, but why didn't I do more? But he will present us, and he will take his church. He said he will present his church, a glorious church, without spot or wrinkle. And I think he wants to present it to his Father and say, look, this is my bride. This is who I died for. This is who I want to be here with me. And God will say, great, well done. 1 Peter 3, verse 18, that he might bring us to the Father. I think that could be a relationship, but with him now on this earth, but also I believe that we can take that eternally, I mean in the future as well. Jude 1, verse 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I think it'd be very important is with exceeding joy that we'll be able to walk before Jesus, before God, and come with a smile on our face that we made it. We made it.
I don't know when the marriage supper of the Lamb is and how that all works, but I believe that we'll be there as well. And that will be a wonderful time. Finally, the rapture is the blessed hope of the redeemed. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, right where we find ourselves, right today, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious fearing of the appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. I hope as you think about that, are we inspired to be what he would like you to be? And I'm going to just quickly use the word ready and just take some quick points off of that. And we'll go through this very quickly, but how are we supposed to be ready? Well, number one, we need to get right with God, right? We need to be right with God. We need to accept the blood of Jesus Christ in our life. We need to live a righteous life through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have a relationship that is open. We can come to him, stand before God, clean and open because of what Jesus has done in our life. And we have claimed that blood of Jesus, and we are living without spot and blameless, making our calling election sure. Letter E, establish your heart. James 5 verse 8 says, rooted in the things of God. The news around us doesn't concern us. All these things that are happening don't concern us, right? All the things, that negative things in life. The world is full of negative things, if you want to sit there and think about that. I mean, this world is going down the tube, right? And it is. That's a fact. But you know what? We can find, if we are ready, we become established and we are rooted in our heart that God is my God. He is a foundation that is unshakable, and we can have peace, and we can be at peace in this world. We can be a joy in this world, and we can be patiently waiting for when he comes back for us. Letter A, we have a spirit-filled life. Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13 talks about the five foolish and the five wise virgins. Five wise had their lamps filled, and their oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians says, be ye partly filled. No, it says, be ye filled with the Spirit. Be ye filled with the Spirit. Spirit-controlled life. And you know, we talked about that, who's controlling us. And if we allow God to, the Holy Spirit, to work into our life, work in our lives and lead us, that takes a laying down and allowing him to work with, to use us. Letter D, diligent and dedicated in service to God. Matthew 24 also talks about a faithful and wise servant. Faithful of the talents that God gave to him, gave to us. And that could be, we talked about talents this morning here, our talents of our children might be some of the things that he has given to us that we need to use for his honor and his glory. It could be possessions. It could be our time. It could be money. It could be the forgiveness that he's extended to us. Are we using that and extending it to those around us? It could be love and peace, whatever all it may be. Blessed is that servant, what's it say? Whom the Lord finds ready at his appearing when he comes back. How did you do with these talents? Diligent and dedicated in the service of God. Letter Y, the person that is ready is yearning and watching for Christ's return. Yearning. We wake up in the morning, will it be today? Did you wake up this past week? Will it be today? Lord, I want to see your face. I want to leave this old world behind. I want to meet you. Watching, we are looking up because our redemption draweth nigh. And as you think about this evening, as you think about the rapture, being rapture ready, and thinking about Jesus coming back for us, where do you find yourself? Are we ready? My prayer this evening as we end these meetings is that each person here, the trumpet sounds, this church is empty. Maybe just the church mice are left, all right? If there's any here, I hope not. But, you know, we are gone. We have, and I hope, pray that my church over here and all church people who are living, claiming God, claiming to be Christians, that they rise up to meet him. But the reality is, it takes work. It takes a choice. And the reality is that probably there's some people today. Human nature is to be rebellious, to put things off and say, do you know what? Not yet. I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready to do that. I'd be a couple years yet. I just want to have a little fun. I'm not ready to turn it over yet. I want to live for self yet. Or can we say, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. That is, as you think about that, are we ready? Are we watching for when Jesus will come back for us?
This evening, as we close the service, I would like to give another invitation this evening. And if you think, you looked at your life this evening or throughout this week and you thought, do you know what? I am not right. And you seriously looked into your heart, into your closet, into whatever you find yourself. And you realize there's some rats lurking around through your life. You know what? You want to get rid of that. You want to be ready when Jesus comes back. Jesus is not coming back for rat-infested Christians. That is a fact. And we need to look at our lives. Maybe you've never made a commitment. I've been in that state where I pushed it off and pushed it off for years and sat through many a revival service. Make that choice today, wherever you find yourself. What song should we sing? Verse, if you're patient for this evening, again, if you feel that you're not ready tonight, talk to someone sometime here soon. If you are ready, praise God, he's coming back. And I'm excited for that. I'm looking forward to that time when we can meet him in the air and we can be with him forever. And I'm looking forward to that, meeting some old saints meeting Jesus, first of all, but meeting some saints and grandparents and people that I'm anxious to see again and you know, be with him eternally throughout all ages. Thank you again for your prayers throughout this week and your attentiveness. I really appreciate that. You can tell sometimes when you preach, I think some of you other preachers will know this, but you can tell when people are engaged. And I appreciate that, and that's. I hope as you can look past humanity this week and see what God has for you, and take it from there, and grow better, grow more like Him. He's coming back. Hallelujah. God bless.